Hello there, podcast land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways Podcast Text can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to Podcast Texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit PodcastTexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
What's up, podcast land? My name is Daniel Tao, and unfortunately, John O'Connor could not make it this evening. He had some nice special box seats tickets to a Giant game. Lucky bastard, free food, free alcohol, leaving me here to do all the work. But anyway, this podcast episode was a very good one. Local New York City band, The Fallen Prodigy. We discuss a whole bunch of topics from getting started on music, favorite styles, favorite bands, taking lessons, how to learn guitar through YouTube and other resources, and just kind of like a backstory on how they became musicians and how they learned their style. We also go over a pretty big show that they opened for a band that they opened for that has actually blown up since then. You're just going to have to listen to the episode to find out. Again, Dan, Behind the Barricade podcast, The Fallen Prodigy. Let's go. So it's just you, Jay? Oh, hey.
It's me and Andrew here.
Andrew? All right, what's going on, man? All right, so just turn off the video just to get a better connection.
All right, cool.
Yeah. All right, cool. So where are you guys calling from?
We're in my house right currently. Really?
You guys, you live in New York, or?
Yeah, we all live in New York.
Oh, really? Cool. So, have you guys lived in New York City your whole life, or?
Yeah. All of us, yeah.
Cool. All right, so, if you guys are ready, we'll get started.
Yeah, sure, let's
do it. Awesome. So, you guys, I'm here, Dan from Behind the Barricade, talking with, Fallen Prodigy. What's going on, guys?
Just hanging out. Thanks for having us.
Ah, no problem. So, let's get into it. So, you guys are from, New York City. What, describe your music to people that have never heard you before.
I mean, to be honest, we kind of like take influence from a lot of bands, no matter the genre.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the best for our EP would be like My Valentine, those kind of bands.
Mm-hmm.
Our newer stuff, we're kind of going towards like Veil of Maya era, kind of changing our sound, getting a little heavier. That's basically what.
Yeah, I would say it, like when I listened to it, I kind of there was a bunch of influences in it, but I heard a little bit of Azalea Dying. I heard a little bit of I would say like the screams kind of reminded me a little bit of like Asking Alexandria and Skeleton Witch mixed in there. But it was kind of cool to hear you go from that, like, you know, that screaming style. It was like it's two different, you know, that really high pitched Skeleton Witch, you know, type vocals, and then you go into Asking Alexandria, which I guess would be a little bit heavier sounding. But I definitely digged your music a lot. That's probably like one of my favorite styles, is that, you know, melodic metal with, you know, I guess a lot of bands, they throw chugs and breakdowns, but just that kind of Shadows of Security, like Azalea Dying type riffs. I definitely heard a little bit from the one music video I listened to. So it was pretty good.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we try to really incorporate a lot of things. We don't, As of right now, we're not sticking to like any specific hardcore sound.
So you're not sticking to like any specific style?
Yeah, I would say like I don't even think we've been a band long enough to really like have a concrete sound at this point. I think we're still trying to find it. And I just think that we're trying to appeal to a lot of people. We don't want to just be one genre. We want to appeal to more than one genre. So that's our main goal when we're writing the new album.
So you guys are in that, like, you're kind of still feeling your music out, essentially.
Yeah, we're still kind of, as far as how we sound, still kind of floating. We're still trying to figure out what we can really say, how we sound. Because we're also writing music to attract everybody as opposed to people.
So do you think after, like, maybe a couple albums or you get that under your belt, you think you'll kind of make kind of, like, a certain style your own? Or, because I know with, for instance, Killswitch Engage, they said that really after, I would say maybe, was it Alive? Maybe after, well, Alive or Just Breathing, that was the first one. But after the second album, As Daylight Dies, after that, they kind of said that they found their sound. And clearly you can tell because the older stuff, Killswitch Engage and then Alive or Just Breathing, it was more heavier. And then they kind of got into more melodic. And now they're like, you know, they have some heavy music, of course, on a lot of their albums nowadays. But it follows more of, you know, that melodic mainstream, you know, verse chorus. The chorus is obviously melodic. And so they said after like an album or two, it kind of they found their sound. You think you're going to kind of do something like that?
Yeah, I can say I would agree with that. Because, like I said, I mean, we're actually, like, we're just really pushing ourselves at this point. We're going to push ourselves so we can't, or so we think we can anymore. We're trying to really develop our sound and our abilities to, you know, our best. And that's definitely not going to come out next album or the album after. I think it's going to be, you know, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear that we pushed ourselves in this album and then the next and the next. That's basically our goal. We really want to, you know, pretty much push ourselves to the best of our abilities. And that's when we find our sound, you know.
Yeah.
But otherwise, right now, we're just, you know, we're just writing, you know, from our hearts, basically, if you want to be that cliche. But we're just saying what comes to mind. We're you know, no matter the genre, we're working on it. We'll put it out there. However, each song that we do have has our own twist in it, which I feel is that, you know, thrashy kind of feel. Straightforward, chugging, things like that. There's always going to be that thrashy twist in it. That's going to be our sound, core sound, but definitely, you know.
Yeah, well, you will hear other elements as well. Won't be a whole album of, like, you know, the same elements over and over again, each consecutive song. This time around, we're really trying to have each and every song have its own sound, have its own twist, each have its own respective dynamic to keep the listener. And hopefully it becomes something, hopefully it's a tactic we do musically that works out for us.
Yeah, and do you feel like, I don't know what your background is in music, do you feel like you'd add anything that's not metal in your music? For instance, there's a, I don't know if you ever heard of them before, but there's this band called Ankla. They kind of add, like, in the beginning of a song, add, like, a little, like, I don't know if it's, like, salsa or something, but they add kind of, like, a little bit of, you know, definitely add a left field, like, style in the beginning of their song and, like, towards the middle. Would you kind of add anything like that? Do you have any background in other styles of music other than just, like, metal?
Absolutely. Actually, Andrew and I, we didn't start in the metal scene. I didn't experiment with vocals till I was already, I don't know, in college, my first year of college. So I definitely grew up with, you know, hip-hop, rap, and R&B, things like that. But I definitely, even for this album, which I definitely have ideas already, which incorporate, like, stuff from different, like, rap albums that I've listened to. If it's not, like, it's not going to be, like, lyrical content, but just, like, musically. Definitely influenced by a ton of genres. I'm definitely not just straight metal at all.
I
started playing the guitar back in 2008, which was about 8 years ago, right? I started out listening to AC/DC, and then it progressed to Iron Maiden, Metallica, System of a Down, and little by little, I just started exploring bands more. I went through a really, really long phase of listening to virtuoso guitar players, such as Buckethead, Jeff Loomis, Paul Gilbert, Andy James, you know, guitar players of that nature. And then I started listening to more heavier stuff. Started listening to Eyes of a Dying. Friend of mine got me into Falling in Reverse, and it just progressed from there.
Yeah, I agree. It was kind of when I started out, it was everything on, like, K-Rock. So it was Offspring, it was Breaking Benjamin, Nirvana. So I would kind of listen to that, and I was it's funny, you have people that have this mindset in high school. It was like, you know, when you hear a metal song with screaming, it's not music. Like, you know, that's not music. It's crap. And I kind of was, like, under that impression too. I'm like, this does not sound good. I don't like it at all. And then slowly but surely, I was playing, I think it was Need for Speed Most Wanted. They had that Avenged Sevenfold in there, and I think they had a Bullet for My Valentine song. And it's actually one of their heaviest songs, and I was like, you know, this song's pretty good. I like that chorus. It's very melodic, because, you know, that's, for me, that really kind of connects to me with songs first, is when I hear, like, a melodic chorus. It could be, like, I could hate the music. I could, you know, the guitar riff's kind of boring, and then if I hear that melodic chorus, it just hits me. But so I kind of heard that, and I listened to it, and then I discovered All That Remains, 2 weeks, and then obviously it got heavier from there, their songs. It was, like, more of their popular stuff. But it's just funny how you grow and progress from, you know, from songs, and it's just, like, perfect. You start with, like, those lower metal bands, or, like you said, the classical, you know, kind of rock, and then you just progress into heavy stuff with screaming and breakdowns and stuff. It's crazy how that works.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's funny you say that, because, like, you know, I was into, like, really into, like, the Chili Peppers and System of a Down, and then I found Avenged Sevenfold. It's like weird channels on your cable box that just, like, the music, yeah. And I found them on that, and I, you know, fell in love with them. And then eventually I got into All That Remains. And that's actually the band that, like, kind of pushed me over the line. I was like, wow, this is, like, ridiculous. And I'm going to be honest, it wasn't even the vocals that caught me. It was the guitar work.
Yeah. So
I really, like, I love Ollie. Like, he's just, like, I always have. But then, I didn't get into vocals, so I was already, like, in college that I was like, damn, I really want to do that. I was a guitar player beforehand. But then, you know, I've been pushed by so many people to, like, they were like, dude, just do vocals, because you have what it takes. And I tried it, and, you know, I haven't looked back since. So I made the right choice.
So how did that start with you? Did you start with, like, melodic vocals and progress into screaming? Or did you do the opposite, like a lot of people do? They just get up there and scream and then figure you can, you know, learn to sing, and then it just progressed from there. How did that work for you?
I mean, I've always liked singing. I just I guess I never took it, like, seriously.
Just in the shower?
Yeah, in the shower, you know, I'd sing some songs, you know, in my room, in the comfort of my room. You know, and it wasn't always, like, metal. It was, like, you know, salsa or, you know, anything that I like to sing, as long as it sounded good. Mm-hmm. And then it went from, definitely went from singing to screaming. But it was, like, a whole new monster when I started screaming. Mm-hmm. I blew out my vocal cords, which was cool. You know, I didn't know the technique. I had to do tons of research to really figure it out because I didn't want to damage my vocal cords. I did want to scream, but I didn't want to lose my singing voice either. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what kept me from, like, blowing out my vocal cords from time to time. I'm like, I can't keep doing this, but I'm not going to be able to do anything.
So where did you find that advice? Did you just use the internet and books and stuff for that, or?
Yeah, I like watched tons and tons of videos. Like, I can't even like describe how many videos I went through, and it wasn't even like one specific video that gave me, like, you know, the technique that worked for me. It was like, okay,
a whole bunch.
Yeah, here's everything I've gathered, and this is what I'm gonna try, and eventually something's gonna work, and that's basically what happened.
Mm-hmm. That's the same thing happened with me playing the guitar. Like I didn't like watch like specific videos to get better. Like, it was just me going through countless videos of like a bazillion different people teaching a bazillion different things, and then over time, I kind of like took whatever information, I kind of just used it to my plan, and it worked after a while, and I was able to, you know, develop a musical backbone, you know, to write riffs and, you know, write solos and leads and all of that. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, it's when you're able to study your instrument and kind of like know how it works, and like play it and learn it, it becomes very enjoyable when it comes to a lot of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when I first started playing guitar, and this is kind of funny because when you think about like you kids out there that, you know, kind of they get, not that they get forced, but they just pick up like an instrument, not because they really want to, and they really love music and their parents, you know, maybe force them to do it. It's different where, like, for me, instance, I played drums for years before picking up guitar, and I picked up like a, you know, this crappy acoustic I had and would start playing. I'm like, man, and my wrists are killing me, and I can't do this. This is really difficult. Most people after that, they just be like, ah, you know what? I'm done. I'm quitting. But I just wanted to learn all like the riffs that I hear. I'm like, oh, you know, that All That Remains riff, that sounds sick. I want to play that in guitar. And that kind of like pushed me to continue practicing and playing. I mean, I'm no guitar player by any means, but just being able to like put on your favorite song and play. And a lot of the stuff that I listen to, like Breaking Benjamin, for instance, you don't have to, you know, play everything, the suspended chords and stuff like that. You can just basically play almost the whole song with just like three power chords. So kind of learning that helped me out too. It was like, you don't have to play it word for word or note for note. As long as you're kind of, you know, playing similar to it, you can play through a guitar. But obviously for you, that wasn't the case, that you actually pushed through it. So did you start, you fell in love with music and you started with guitar, or did that like kind of be in the reverse? You just started guitar to pick up an instrument and then found music after that?
Well, before I picked up the guitar, I wasn't really listening to metal, let alone rock. I was just kind of listening to whatever it is that I just heard and I liked it. Mm-hmm. And like, I started coming across more rock bands and, you know, guitar. At the time when I first picked up the guitar, real guitar, Guitar Hero was like one of the most popular things out.
Yeah.
I was finding cool music through that, and I just picked up the guitar, and I had no direction on how to learn because it was like I didn't have music classes to go to at the time. Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of on my own, so my only solution at the time was basically just to go on YouTube and just learn through there, which it was a little bit impractical at first, but then after a while, I started finding the right sources, and then I eventually got myself into music classes in school, and it just kind of built up from there. A lot of the thing is where a lot of people who want to progress and you know, become, you know, great at their instrument is that they are too quick to be motivated. You have to, when it comes, when you want to be a guitar fan, you want to be really experienced, be able to play, you know, super clean, super tasty, super fast, or whichever style or way you want to play. You have to really, the best way to do it is to watch other guitar players play. Mm-hmm. Whether they can play cleaner than you, faster than you, or know more music theory than you, you have to watch them play and just kind of take it as like information. You take it as taking information and use that. I one thing I see with a lot of kids who pick up the guitar, especially kids who pick up the guitar for the first time, is they always get discouraged.
Yeah,
they see other guitar players playing and they just lose their minds and they just discouraged and they just don't want to play anymore. And you know, you don't want to do that. You want to take that as, you know, a lesson, you know, learn from it. You know, it's, you know, this, you see this person, you know, going crazy on the guitar. Want to reach that level, you got to put in the work, use it as motivation, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is nowadays with everybody, even the, you know, the younger generation, it's everybody wants like instant gratification. They want it right away. And with guitar and especially drums is very physical. You know, they're both just like working out. Like, you got to do a couple of days a week, or you got to listen to a lot of music to get it. And you just really have to push through it. And it's a lot more difficult than just, oh, I see this guy playing, it looks so easy, let me try doing it. And that's when people get discouraged.
Yeah. With me, the thing was that I was just so curious about that. That was the thing that kind of like made me keep doing it, I guess you can say, because like a lot of fans and like seeing other guitar players play. Like I remember seeing Eddie Van Halen play.
Mm-hmm.
When he was playing this little guitar solo called Eruption, like when I seen that for the first time, like it just blew my mind. And I thought to myself, wow, I really want to play that. I want to take this guitar and make it sound like that. That sounded really cool. Mm-hmm. You know, it was more of the fact that I just had a lot of time in my hands and just the fact that I was just so fascinated by the guitar. Like, what you can do with it, as to why I was able to reach up to the level I'm up to now.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it's different. You know, some people, they don't have as much time as I did when I first started. Some people, you know, they were busy with other things. Some people, they see other guitar players play and they kind of feel discouraged. But my best advice for people who deal with that kind of stuff is, you know, don't give up. You know, don't be discouraged. You know, learning the guitar takes time. Just like everything else you learn in life, it everything takes time. And then after a while, you know, if you keep practicing and, you know,
you'll surprise yourself, basically.
Yeah. You'll surprise yourself.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you guys take lessons at all, or have you taken lessons in the past?
Well, when I took lessons when I was 7, I took guitar lessons. Mm-hmm. I hated it. I stopped, and then I stopped playing for years, and then I picked up a guitar again like when I was like 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but that's when I had gotten into like metal, like All That Remains and stuff. And again, like, you know, you hear it and you want to play it, and it's just like that's what really like motivated me to start playing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never had any like lessons for like. No, not at all. Not especially for vocals. I've never had lessons ever.
Yeah.
It was just a trial and error thing.
Mm-hmm.
Painful error, but error nonetheless. Yeah, I've never had any like formal lessons for anything really.
I had music lessons when I was in high school for a couple of years. My music teacher, he was like into. He taught us like punk rock songs, like Sex Pistols and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to do like open note chords and like power chords, like basic, you know, the basic things that, you know, people should learn on the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I didn't have any lessons of any sort. After that, I was basically on my own.
Yeah, I mean, it's you guys are a perfect example of, you know, how lucky we are nowadays to you can basically just go get a video, or you can rent something or go on YouTube and watch everybody. And there's a whole bunch of lessons, and we basically have all these tools to slow down and replay and learn all this stuff. I wouldn't say you really don't need a teacher, but because for me, it was kind of like, I feel like in the beginning you do need one. I guess it's both the same for both instances, but I feel like in the beginning you should kind of like learn on your own and practice and try playing your favorite songs or look up tabs. And then if you really, really get into guitar and you really want to progress further, I think taking lessons can take you definitely to the next level. Cause when you're with someone that's like able to like watch you and dissect what you're doing and show you like different tips, like, oh, you know, you should be using your pinky there instead of your ring finger or vice versa. And it's just really cool to have them look at you and critique you. But still, I mean, nowadays, as long as you put in the time, like you said, and you do your research and have the resources, you'll definitely be able to do it by yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I started out when I first started playing the guitar. It was before I had guitar lessons, like when I was in high school, and like, I started out like trying to play, like trying to learn how to tap before I learned how to play power chords.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like kind of like I had no idea what I was just trying to play whatever it is I wanted to play, but I mean. It music lessons definitely help. They definitely help you put you in the right direction, and you know, depending on who your teacher is,
yeah.
You know, for whatever amount of time you have lessons with that person who's teaching you, chances are you'll leave there, you know, with some kind of level of discipline. And by that I mean like, you know, knowing how to, you know, learn your music and you know, learn how to play melodically and so forth. You know, just have that, you know, have that clarity as a musician.
I always tell people, I'm like, if you have the chance to take lessons, do it. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, yeah, I learned on my own, and you know, I can play like certain songs. You know, I'm not a half bad guitar player, you know, forever learning on my own. But I always say, like, yeah, if you have the chance to take lessons, do it. Because, yeah, maybe you're fascinated looking at me or looking at Andrew play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's cool because, you know, we're self-taught musicians. But I'm completely fascinated by someone that you can just put a piece of paper in front of their face and they can play a whole song for the first time, like they've, you know, like they've been practicing their whole life, you know?
Yeah.
That fascinates me. And I feel like that, if you can do that, you know, you can, like, do anything.
Yeah. I mean, that takes a lot, definitely, sight reading. I mean, you know, when I played for, like, snare drum, that was pretty easy, but when you're looking at drums and you got two lines for double bass and you got lines for all this other stuff, it's pretty difficult, but... Yeah, I mean, it's easy once you get the hang of it and you do it for years, but it is crazy when you see someone, like, they put a sheet in front of them, and they're like, all right, band, let's take it from the top, and they start playing it almost, I would say perfectly, but from the naked eye or from someone who's never heard the song before, they're not, like, musicians, they'll almost, like, not notice a mistake. It's crazy when people do that.
Yeah, I was in marching band in high school. I played the snare drum, and I had no idea how to read music, and, you know, it was a really, like, I already knew how to play. I had the chops for it. You know, that's it was like the movie Drumline, you know? He had the chops, but he needed to learn how to read music if he wanted to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a real wake-up call for me. That was like, you know, all right, you can play. Yeah, you're great, but can you read this? And, you know, they put that paper in front of me, and I was like, yeah.
I don't know about that.
Automatically, although I was the best snare player, you could say, you know, or I was, you know, people held me like on this level that I was the best snare player, you know, but I was, you know, the most experienced. I had been playing since I was, what, like 10 at that, you know, by the time I got to high school. And automatically, I was behind everyone else. As soon as they put that paper in front of me, I was the most experienced, but now I'm behind everyone else because I can't use it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one part of it. The, you know, the reading music is, I would say if you got the chops, I mean, for learning music and reading music, I mean, for me, it was kind of like from day one, starting in elementary school, they start teaching you how to read stuff. So, I mean, at least if you have one or the other, at least you have it. I mean, you know, you just got to kind of learn. It's like learning a new language also, kind of a little bit easier, I would say, than a language. But, I mean, as long as you have one side of it.
Yeah, my chops definitely got me by, but, again, it was just like a real way.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's turn to a little bit kind of like in a different section. What big openers have you guys opened for? Any bands in New York City? Any, you know, like any of the bands you listen to? If you played any big shows like that, or
I would say the biggest name band that we played with so far would be Nothing More.
Nothing More, wow.
Yeah, Nothing More. That show was actually a really funny case.
The venue called us like 3 hours before the show.
Really?
Yeah, and they were like, "Oh my god, you know, we need a band, you know, right away." I believe it was actually their showcase for a label. And they're like, "We need an opener ASAP." So like, I'm scrambling. I'm at work and I'm scrambling trying to call the guys. Like, oh my god. Mm-hmm. And we ended up making it and playing that show, which ended up being a great turnout. Other big names, like, you know, we played with I Said to Kill, Monuments, Polyphia, we played so many shows, it's like, mm-hmm. You kind of lose them after a while.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, dude, Nothing More is, they're pretty huge on Octane, I wouldn't know outside of that, but they get played like crazy on Octane. Now you said it was a label showcase, was that before they were signed, or?
I'm not even too sure if they were signed at that point. Mm-hmm. I was told that it was a showcase for them, and they needed an opener for that day.
Yeah, we had no idea what to expect because, like, Jay had hit me and the rest of the guys up, and she was like, "Oh my god, we got offered to play at Webster Hall. Let's go do it
now."
And then like, we didn't know what to expect because we made it to the venue and like there was nobody there. We just walked inside. We saw Nothing More doing like sound check. Mm-hmm. We didn't know who they were. And then like, you know, the venue, we were setting up our stuff and we were all in the back. And then just out of nowhere, when we walked out on the stage, like the place was almost packed out already.
That's awesome.
And we played and the crowd loved us and it was a really great experience. And then Nothing More played and the crowd, by the time Nothing More started playing, everybody was just having a good time. The vocalist, Johnny, he actually gave us free CDs.
Nice.
They were all really like cool guys. And you know, that's always refreshing when you meet like super big men, you know.
Mm-hmm. And they're not dicks.
Yeah, it's always refreshing to, you know, have, like, genuinely nice people that are not, you know, stuck on their high throne. You know, it's definitely refreshing. So that was definitely a good experience for us. So, we can thank them for that because that was a really good, experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big band. Webster Hall is insanely popular. I mean, me and John have done a bunch of interviews there. But it's funny with metal and hard rock musicians. I don't really, to be honest, I think it's, like, a little bit hard to find – you know, popular bands nowadays for hard rock and metal that the musicians are dicks. I mean, I would say a lot of them, they seem mad cool. I've met a handful of bands and I've seen them and you can kind of just tell like, maybe they have like a side to them or maybe they're going to have a bad day once in a while, but they just seem genuinely nice and awesome. I would say mostly it's because they're doing what they love and, maybe you'll get some certain bands like Puddle of Mud or something where, you know, maybe they're doing it for a different reason, but I would say most members of our bands that we listen to, they're generally awesome people.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. We haven't had a bad experience. I'm grateful for that. Every show we've played, every band we've met, it's always been a great time. Mm-hmm. There's never been like any grudges or anything like that. It's just we go, we all play, we have a good time, and you know. We take each other's information and we go on our way. And, mm-hmm. in the future, you know, if we have a show offer, we throw them to each other. That's basically it. And that's great to me. You know, I feel like that should be the case all the time.
Yeah.
Be helping each other out all the time because we're all from the same, you know, we all came from the same place. And it's just, we're all working hard. So, you know, we should always try to help each other out, for sure.
All right, so just got a couple minutes left. Now, you guys said you were working on a new album. Do you have any, like, timetable when that's going to be out? Or?
Right now, it's looking like it's going to come out at the end of 2017. No specific date yet.
We're
still in the process of getting everything done. But we have a few things that we're going to be releasing, so...
This time around, it's going to be a lot more crazier because when we recorded the Passengers EP, it was so much easier because the songs we had in the Passengers EP was not that it was like...
It was just...
It was more simplistic and it was easier for us to get down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wrote all the guitar solos for that EP all in one day, like, with no problem. It was a little bit tough, but, you know, I was able to pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
But this time around... what happened, twice the amount of songs we have to record, and you know
it's just we really like pushed ourselves.
It's we pushed ourselves this time around where it's gonna be more technical, more heavy, and a more tighter schedule, because this time around, you know, all of us work, and you know, some of us go to school as well, so it's gonna be a very difficult task, but we're gonna, you know, do everything we can to make sure the album comes out great and make sure that people who support us will hear it and love it. And as long as we stick to that agenda, I'm pretty sure things will definitely come up.
Yeah, I mean, definitely looking forward to hearing that. And it's cool to see you guys are, you know, progressing and, you know, trying to write, you know, more technical music and just kind of trying to push yourselves. Do you guys have any shows coming up?
Not at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So just focusing on, like, writing and recording and stuff?
Yeah, we made that decision not too long ago. We've been getting show offers left and right. And, you know, it sucks because we love to play shows, but we, you know, ultimately we have to turn them down because we're so focused on writing and we have to go to the studio and, you know, we have to perfect everything and get all the pieces ready and, you know, merch and everything. It's just, it's better if we just focus on ourselves for now and then come back, you know, when we're ready and just, you know, blow up and, you know, have a huge show, you know, for our album release.
Mm-hmm.
That would be more realistic versus playing on the shows while we're trying to, like, perfect our album.
Yeah. So, all right. So, not rolling out any upcoming shows, but probably look forward to seeing you guys in 2017. And last to end off the episode, two things. Let people know where they could find you, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. Just let them know where to find you.
We're on Facebook. Definitely The Fallen Prodigy. It's up on Facebook. From there, you can find our Instagram, our Bandcamp. Everything is on there. We're on YouTube as well. Just The Fallen Prodigy will come up right away. So we're pretty much on everything. iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Google Play. Everything's out there. For sure.
All right. And what was the name of that EP that people could find on those?
Our EP, Passengers.
Passengers.
Yeah, it came out in 2015. And then we have our new song, Regret, which is up on everything as well, Spotify, YouTube, iTunes. That's off our new album. So that's pretty much what to look forward to in terms of technicality, but not sound.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. I know I saw on YouTube you guys got a couple covers. You got some guitar solos. You got your music video, so if, you know, everyone wants to hear more, I would definitely highly suggest everyone looking into it, especially if you like, you know, that melodic metal. I definitely, from the minute that I was listening to your song and the music video, I definitely loved it. It was great stuff, so I encourage everyone else to check it out. And also, we're going to end off the episode. We're actually going to start an episode with a song, and then we're going to finish it out with a song. So what two songs would you guys like to choose? Of your own,
I guess we could start off.
Because we're not going to really play the whole song in the beginning, so the one at the end, that's what we're going to really feature the full song. So you might want to choose that one differently.
Yeah, well, we can do. We can first As The Weakness is simple of our EP, Passengers.
Mm. All right.
Regret could be of our album, could be the last song for sure.
All right, so here's Regret. Thanks, guys. Have a good night, and look forward to hearing that album in 2017.
Thanks, Zach.
No problem. Have a good night.
Cause I'm trying to cross it again. I must make caution, but I won't be able to live again.